Galatians 4, we are in a section here, verses 8 through 20, which is Paul's pastoral plea to the church in Galatia. We looked last time at verses 8 through 11 as he addressed their lack of logic in embracing, we just call it legalism, but embracing the doctrine of the Judaizers. We started in him addressing their lack of fruit. As he said here, there's the fruit that I'm seeing is not Holy Spirit fruit. It's not the fruit of the Spirit. And he'll get to that more in chapter 5 here. And then today we move from there up to him addressing their lack of proper motives. So we'll finish out the lack of fruit and then get into the lack of proper motives here within Paul's pastoral plea. Let's read from verse number 8. So Galatians 4, verse number 8 down through verse number 20. Howbeit then, when you knew not God, you did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, after that you have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn you again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto you desire again to be in bondage? You have deserved days and months and times and years. I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Brethren, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as you are. You have not injured me at all. You know how, through infirmity of the flesh, I preached the gospel unto you at the first, and my temptation, which was in my flesh, you despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. Where is then the blessedness you spake of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? They zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you, that you might affect them. But it is good to be zealously affected, always in a good thing, and not only when I am present with you. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you, I desire to be present with you now, and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. Let's pray. Father, we're glad for this passage. It's unique to be able to see Paul's interaction with his church, not only on a doctrinal reproof, but also a personal level. And so, Father, may we take this and use it in our own lives, in our own church here, that we may grow to be more like Christ, and we may be more effective in the ministry that you've given us in this area. And we pray this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. As we consider Paul's pastoral plea and his address of the Galatians and the Judaizers' motives there, I want us to consider this morning our own motives. There's an old fable about a dog that boasted of his ability as a runner. And one day he chased a rabbit and he failed to catch the rabbit. So the other dogs ridiculed him on account of his previous boasting. His reply to them was, "You must remember that the rabbit was running for his life while I was only running for my dinner." And certainly we see that the motive is all important. Here Paul initially addressed the lack of logic and embracing the law, though they had been set free. And then we started last time, and we'll spend some time here this morning, in the lack of fruit. And then we'll end with the lack of motive. The way of the Judaizer, he says here, cannot be God's intent, due to it never producing the fruit that is expected. If you're not familiar with the book of Galatians, you can let your eyes wander across the page there to chapter 5, and you can look at verse number 22, and he says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is," and he begins to list these things that we should expect to see from those who have, through Jesus Christ, received the Holy Spirit and are living, being conformed to Jesus Christ. And the ministry of the Holy Spirit is evident in their life. When something hinders that or gets in the way of that, we will not see those things. And there's a list before verse 22 that he says these are the things that show up instead. And so Paul earlier now is saying to them, hey, this is not expecting the fruit expected in your lives. This controversy over legalism very specifically had separated Paul and the Galatians, though they were close friends. So he says the law cannot be mature, the law cannot be true, because it has separated instead of uniting. In order to bring the gospel to the Gentile Galatians, Paul had to leave behind the ceremonial law, which forbade Jewish interaction with the Gentiles. He says that in verse 12. Brethren, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as you are. He also says here, you have not injured me at all. So just as they warmly cared for one another previously, he suggests this is what our relationship should look like going forward. Then in verse 13 through 15, he draws attention to the kindness that the Galatians first showed him when he arrived to preach the gospel to them. Notice those verses again. He says, you know how through infirmity of the flesh, I preached the gospel unto you at the first. So he points to the fact that he was suffering from some illness, some sickness, an infirmity, he calls it. And then verse 14, he says, this was a temptation. He says, my temptation or trial, which was in my flesh, you despised not nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. So I think Paul is saying here, my sickness was a trial for you, but you still received me in love. For the sake of the message that had brought transformation in your life, you were willing to deal with my sickness and help me in whatever that might have needed to be. And you can only imagine the extent that might have meant for some of them, especially given their day and age of not being able to control infectious things at times, right? We're a little more sophisticated now. We have Purell. This is great. Sure, Paul, I'll shake your hand at church. Looking at him and he's all sick there, you know. They received him still. Paul's sense of their level of care was that the Galatians would have given him their very own eyes if they could. He says in verse 15, where then is the blessedness you spake of? For I bear you of record that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me. So we would assume that this was some sort of eye issue. This infirmity had something to do with either his vision or some infection that messed with the eyes there. I don't think we should be so caught upon that that we miss his point, though. His point is that initially, with the gospel Paul preached to them, the fruit of the Spirit was present. They dealt with him in love. They dealt with him in joy. They dealt with him with peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. But now he's not seeing those fruits come out of their living. He is seeing a more legalistic approach to even their relationship with him. Verse 16 brings this into focus up against Paul's plea to them. As he says, am I therefore become your enemy? Because I tell you the truth. When at first he shared the truth with them, their lives were transformed and the fruit of the Spirit was very obvious. In fact, he said in 14, you received me as an angel or even as Christ Jesus. Meaning you held great reverence over my relationship with you because of the truths that I was sharing with you. He's not pointing to himself here. He's not saying, You've really demeaned how you treat me. He says, because of the reverence you had for the message that I was giving you, the truth that I was giving you, you received me with the same awe that one would should an angel of God come and speak to them. Or if Christ himself were to come into your town, you treated me like that. They didn't know Paul well enough to respect him as a person. So it had to be his message of the gospel truth. But now, up against the doctrine of legalists, would Paul be their enemy? I want to give you a note here on legalism, because we are speaking about that as we go through the letter to the Galatians. One can be legalistic on the fundamental end or the liberal end. You can be legalistically fundamental. You can be legalistically liberal. You can get into an extreme on any particular point in either side of an argument that often lends itself to legalistic thinking or living. And a good way to check yourself on this is, am I operating with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance? Or am I being the opposite of those things? In this context, it's the Judaizers. They are promoting circumcision in addition to salvation by grace through faith. But in any context, a legalistic dogma will be harmful to the fruit of the Spirit growing from within us. There has to be a balance in the Christian life. There has to be patience in the Christian life. There has to be long suffering in the Christian life. And Paul writes here to the Galatians, said, you've started to turn against me. He said, what previously was hospitality is now coming to me as hostility. Paul's point was that the lack of the fruit in their lives that he wished to see was the result of this legalistic approach to their religion. You see, liberty fertilizes fruit. We know that just through the political scenario in our own country. Why did the patriots fight so hard for their freedom? Well, they believed that that liberty was what was needed to fertilize the growth of this new nation. And this is very true in Christianity. This is very true in our own faith. That's chapter 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and don't be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. That yoke strangles out the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. But the liberty that God has saved us to fertilizes that very fruit. As God's children, we know the freedom of His grace. We enjoy the ministry of His Word. We are transformed into the life of His Son. Paul hasn't changed his message. Paul hasn't changed his ministry. The church's response to him has changed. They are now under the influence of those who have a very different message than his. And this is true because they have a very different set of goals. They have different means to go about those goals. And that brings us to their motives. So in his pastoral plea to the Galatians, he's made his case. He's laid it down for them. And now he's just sort of pleading to them on a personal level. He addressed the lack of logic. He addresses this lack of fruit. And then finally, he addresses their lack of proper motives. Verse 17, he just says, they make a big deal out of you. They zealously affect you, but not well. Yes, they would exclude you that you might affect them. It feels good to have someone make a big deal out of you. Paul instructs the Galatians here, that is not necessarily wrong, but their end is not what you're thinking. The legalists have improper motives and they were taking advantage of the Galatians. He says they're filled with false praise for you. They're telling you what you want to hear. They're tickling your ears. They're pandering to you in order to get from you what they want from you. And specifically here, they were trying to get loyalty to themselves and they had to exclude them from Paul for that to be the case. Paul says it there. He says they shut you out. They exclude you in verse number 17. They want to isolate the Galatians from all other influences, especially the apostle himself. It's hard to get someone to follow you in a legalistic sense when someone else is telling you it's grace alone. You're free in Christ. All things are lawful for you. You can't have that kind of influence in someone's life that you're saying, no, we've got to do these things. That was their purpose in isolating them. They wanted the Galatians to look exclusively to them. And thus the false teachers could keep the Galatian churches under their influence. I would say to you, church, to remember that God has given us minds to think. He added to that His most powerful Holy Spirit to guide our thinking. Now, does that mean we can never get it wrong? Certainly not. We are carnal humans who, I'll just speak of me, I guess I shouldn't speak of you. I give into my flesh way more than I should, especially in my thinking. So we're not saying that that is the end all. But the opposite of that is not the end all either, to just put blinders on it and never think. God has given us brains so that we can think. He's given us the Holy Spirit is the guide to our thinking. Anyone trying to shut us out or exclude us in such a way is likely up to no good. The Bible tells us clearly in 2 Timothy, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that doesn't need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word. Paul, when he says that there, is saying, cutting it straight. You can think of one who works with material, like an upholsterer, someone who makes clothing or covers furniture in their day. Paul would be saying they have to cut it straight. You can think of a farmer who would plow a row. They had to cut it straight. And he says, we've got to be this way with the word. And often we get into these ruts of thinking. If we just go along with what we're being told, then we're going to be fine. But the problem with that is God has given you a brain to think too. To read yourself, to explore, to let the Holy Spirit develop inside of you, your own spiritual thinking. Paul says here, they don't want that for you. They want to exclude you, that you might affect them. But notice in verse 17, those three words before he says that, but not well. They zealously affect you, but not well. He says, this is not for the better. This is for no good purpose. Verse 18, he talks about their zeal. He says, they are zealous. Now, I think Paul's position here is nothing inappropriate about zeal. He says, it is good to be zealously affected, always in a good thing, and not only when I am present with you. So in regards to the zeal of the legalizers, Paul does not begrudge in itself the interest the legalizers are showing in the Galatians. He wouldn't resent their zeal at all or their interest at all if it were only for a good cause. He had shown the same zeal himself among them. In regards to the Galatians and their zeal, Paul wishes it was as intense now as it had been initially in the pursuit of the right things when he was with them. So it is good to be zealous for a good thing. If only all of this zeal was toward growth in the truth, but instead is toward religious ritual and that which would cause no growth at all. And so Paul says here, be careful. They lack proper motives. And then verse 19 and 20 concludes his pastoral plea. He says, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you, I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. My little children, he says, I am perplexed by you. I am in doubt of you. I travail. I am in anguish over this situation. Pastors and parents both know too well Paul's disposition here. Fesco writes, we might read Paul's letter to the Galatians and think he is quite angry and only interested in right doctrine and orthodoxy and cares little, if anything, for the people. But we know this is not true. He was deeply concerned for the Galatians. Like a concerned parent, he says here, who sees his child in imminent danger. Fesco says his passion is driven by love and concern for the people, not simply a detached veneration of doctrinal orthodoxy. That is the source of his agitation. But it is ultimately evidence of Paul's great concern and love for the Galatians. In the end, we see just how pure Paul's own motives are here. See that last phrase of verse number 19? Until Christ be formed in you. This is not the great apostle Paul trying to build a platform who needs to shore up his base in Galatia, so he writes to them to kind of set them straight. No, Paul wants these who were babes in Christ through him, who've now become children or teenagers, to grow up in the faith as Christ-like adults. And I mean that in the spiritual sense, but we can understand this in the physical realm. It takes a little bit for a baby to grow inside the mother up until the time of birth. We know exactly how long. It takes right about 9 months. Some of us get in a little bit more of a hurry than that, but that's about how long it takes. But then for that newborn to grow into a wandering around toddler. If you come to church, you get to observe this very thing. They go from crying in mama's arms to bringing their offering down and putting it in the church. And what a cute and wonderful thing that is. And it takes a little while for that toddler to grow into a teen and that teen to grow into an adult. If you think of it in the physical sense, from the point of an embryo to an adult, there has to be cell added to cell and tissue to tissue, and the muscles have to grow and the organs have to develop, and all of these things have to happen. Well, in the same way, the Spirit gradually uses the Word to make God's children like God's Son. This is Paul's pastoral plea to the church in Galatia. Their behavior lacked logic. The outcome lacked fruit. In the end, he says here, the Judaizers, the legalists, they lacked proper motive. Warren Wiersbe said, they had not lost the experience of salvation. They were still Christians, speaking of the Galatians. But they were losing the enjoyment of their salvation and finding satisfaction in works instead. They thought they were becoming better Christians by substituting law for grace and religious deeds of the flesh for the fruit of the Spirit. One's a little easier than the other. One initially feels better than the other. You can stay just like you are and do some good deeds and feel like you've actually accomplished something. But in the end, it's the change within you that God wants and wants to see and expects to happen within you. That is Paul's motivation here. He says, I long to see you growing up in the faith. He doesn't say, I long to see you doing more of these rituals in the church there. So I think this leaves us needing to question within ourselves, is my Christian life moving forward into liberty, or is it moving backward into bondage? Let's pray. Father, we love you and we want to know you more. We want to grow up in our faith. Father, help us to avoid our legalistic tendencies, though that appeals to our flesh at times, and help us to learn how to live in the liberty of the grace wherewith you saved us. This is our prayer through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.